After all these years together, look at us. After all that we've been through, look at us. Still.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. More than 200 people have died and dozens are still missing a week after Hurricane Helene made landfall in Florida and caused widespread devastation in the southeast.
Hurricane Helene was the deadliest mainland hurricane since Katrina in 2005, and the number of those killed in Helene is still rising. Georgia adding 8 more victims found dead, North Carolina 3 more. At least 61 people were killed in the Asheville, North Carolina area, where today rescue operations are still underway from teams that have arrived from around the country. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Biden visits Florida and Georgia today and could announce more federal aid in hard-hit counties. The strike at key ports along the eastern seaboard and Gulf Coast is in its third day. The White House urging union members and Maritime Alliance to resume talks over wage increases and automation. Severe heat keeping its grip in western states. Triple-digit temperatures could also expand into the Rockies. This is ABC. Jury deliberations are underway in the case of 3 former Memphis police officers charged in the beating death of Tyree Nichols. ABC's Stephanie Ramos has details.
I spoke with Tyree Nichols' mother, who said that she finds it so difficult to hear the defense try and justify the beating that Tyree Nichols received. She says it's been really, really hard to hear them try and make sense of it all. But she says she's had to be strong this past year and a half for her other adult children. She says, together with the rest of the family, that they are looking forward to a verdict and want those officers held accountable for the excessive use of force.
Prosecutors say the former cops laughed and bragged about the beating. Defense attorneys say the force used against Nichols was, quote, not excessive. A World War II-era bomb exploded without warning at an airport in Japan. That 500-pound bomb blew a giant hole into the runway that was not in use at the time. Nobody was injured. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11/2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Valvoline Advanced Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $35.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. More details are emerging on an overnight business fire at a railroad tie recycling yard on French Island in western Wisconsin. Fire Chief Nate Melby says fire crews spent roughly 21 hours fighting the fire.
This incident is certainly the largest industrial fire in our community's history and one of the largest fires of this type that our area has experienced. Our mission from the beginning of the incident was to protect life safety, stabilize the incident, and conserve property. I'm glad to share that there were no injuries or fatalities in the fire operation.
No damage estimates are available yet. An investigation into the cause of the fire remains ongoing. Democratic incumbent Senator Tammy Baldwin still leads Republican challenger Eric Hovde, according to the latest Marquette Law School poll. Poll director Charles Franklin says Baldwin's lead has grown since the last poll in early September.
This one's a 7-point lead for Baldwin, and that's true for both registered and likely voters. Consistently a modest Baldwin lead, but it has held on steadily. We haven't seen Hovde up in any of our polling.
Last month, Baldwin led Hovde by 4 points among registered voters and 5 points among likely voters. A new report finds huge challenges looming for Wisconsin's elder care industry.
The number of Wisconsinites 75 and older expected to increase by nearly 75% over the next 20 years. Kevin Dosboy with Forward Analytics, the research arm of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
By 2030, we're looking at an additional 33,000 new beds that will be needed just to keep our current ratio of essentially 194 beds for every 1,000 people over the age of 75.
As of last year, the state totaled about 80,000 beds in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer-owned, community-minded.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Calmer winds today with more and more clouds building in, keeping our highs to near 70. We do have a shot of a few spotty sprinkles this evening, and the clouds quickly clear on out overnight, allowing us to crash cold. Upper 30s and patchy frost is possible. Save money with lower cost health insurance and better coverage. 1-800-693-9308. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And neither side is showing much willingness to negotiate to end the work stoppage. We'll get the latest and look ahead to what an extended strike might mean for consumers. And October 1 was the start of the new year for the National Corn Growers Association. We'll introduce the new NCGA president.
Live from the victor's path to the ALDS, via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll begin with a conversation with Ken Erickson from Polaris. Then it's National Corn Growers Association President Kenny Harman Jr. Excuse me, Kenny Hartman Jr. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, yeah, man, the KC Royals.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Why?
I haven't been rooting against them. Make the announcement, please.
The Kansas City Royals scored 3 runs in 2 games in Baltimore and swept the Orioles. Amazingly good pitching happening from both teams. From both teams in that 2-game series. I mean, wow. And KC's moving on.
And walk us through moving on to whom? Who do we face next?
I'm not even sure.
They're from the north. They're not Rebs. They're not Mets.
They're Yankees.
Here's the thing. We're on to face the Yankees next. A few weeks ago, we're talking about baseball, and okay. I'm like, you know, ultimately though, we're going to have to get through the Orioles and the Yankees first.
Yeah.
And you were all, I don't think that's how baseball works. Chip, I see the future. I see the future. Whether I know what I'm talking about or not, I see the future. I knew we would wind up here. I didn't know how or why, but here we are. I just wanted to point that out.
I don't recall all the circumstances around those comments, but
well, how convenient.
Here you are. You got it right, man. You got it right.
Love it. I will reiterate half of what I said before. We just got to get through the Yankees.
Yeah. Here we go.
It's going to be tough.
Now, boy, the baseball is moving along very quickly, no doubt about that. So, big game tonight between the Brewers and the Mets. See how that one wraps up. All right, we're going to get the latest on what's going on with the longshoremen's strike. Ken Erickson from Polaris Analytics and Consulting will be in here. And then Kenny Hartman Jr., new president of the National Corn Growers Association. I've known Kenny for several years, talk to him occasionally, so it's nice to see Kenny moving into this leadership role at NCGA. He's been working on it for a long time, no doubt. All right, buddy, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, we'll start with the National Weather Service. Increasing dangerous surf, strong winds, and heavy precipitation will affect southern portions of Alaska and Aleutian over the next few days. A strong system will move across ashore across the Pacific Northwest with winds and increasing fire weather concerns for the northern Great Basin and Rockies. Extreme heat lingers for the southwest and parts of California. Closely monitoring the Gulf of Mexico. Currently 75 degrees and sunny here in the city of Kansas, Chip.
75 degrees? Seriously?
Yeah.
Man, you warmed up quick down there.
We did.
Only at 63 degrees here in northeast Iowa. And but a beautiful day. There is a bit of a wind blowing. There's very slight chances of rain in the forecast over the next 10 days. Very slight chances. So what that means is there's very slight chances of a break from harvest. Sometimes you got to schedule those breaks, guys. Stay fresh out there. Don't get yourselves worn down.
Well, Chip, President Biden called on U.S. port employers to resume negotiations with striking dock workers, warning that the strike, which has shut down major container ports on the Atlantic and Gulf coasts, could exacerbate the economic fallout from Hurricane Helene. Experts warn that if the strike persists beyond a couple of weeks, it could lead to significant supply chain shocks. Iowa Attorney General Brenna Byrd led a coalition of 22 states in filing an amicus brief to support an appeal against a district court ruling that upheld Massachusetts Question 3 law. That Chip, Question 3 is a Massachusetts law approved by voters in 2016 that sets minimum size requirements for farm animal containment. This appeal comes in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to uphold California's Prop 12 in a 5-4 vote.
Yeah, this is Attorney General Byrd is making an aggressive move here, and I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Let's go ahead and get this settled at the highest court.
Well, Chip, the Environmental Protection Agency announced a final rule to restore the pesticide application exclusion zone requirements under the 2015 Ag Worker Protection Standard. The AEZ is an area surrounding outdoor pesticide application equipment where people are prohibited while pesticides are applied. This rule finalizes the agency's 2023 proposed rule without change. President Biden has called on Israel to avoid attacking Iran's nuclear facilities in response to recent missile strikes as the G7 seeks to prevent further escalation in the region. Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, have vowed to retaliate after Iran fired 200 ballistic missiles. It's getting zoppity in the Middle East there, Chip.
Oh, yeah. And Iran fired ballistic missiles on Israeli nuclear facilities, power generation facilities. I mean, if it's going to be, you know, equal retaliation, I would think that Israel's going to be targeting those Iranian nuclear facilities.
Yep, I would think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, in other news, the National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council called on the administration to immediately intervene in the port labor strike. The dairy organizations warned that this disruption could have a devastating impact on America's dairy farmers and exporters, who rely on the smooth function of these ports to get their products to international markets. I think we'll probably see the effects most dramatically in the produce, the perishables, Chip, I think are probably first on the radar here.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. We'll talk to Ken Erickson, about exactly what this is going to mean for us in just a bit.
Good. Well, oil prices saw a brief spike yesterday following Iran's missile barrage against Israel, though gains were tempered as traders evaluated potential disruptions to global energy supplies. And if I'm clicking here, looks like I've got the WTI currently up almost $3 in most contracts. The front month November contract up 307 this morning at 73.17.
Yeah.
USDA has announced up to $7.7 billion in funding for conservation practices on working lands in fiscal year 2025. With $5.7 billion coming from the Inflation Reduction Act for Climate Smart Initiatives and $2 billion from the 2018 Farm Bill. Chip, still $2 billion in the 2018 Farm Bill?
Yeah,
Yeah, well, okay. You know, that farm bill is a five-year bill, but it projects spending out for 10 years, and it was extended. I'm not exactly sure where this money is coming from, and you know, what makes things even worse is they keep making these announcements that the money is being spent, but we're a little short on specifics on exactly how the money is being spent and where it's going.
Yeah.
So,
where's my money?
My money? We need to dig into it a little bit deeper here and try to figure all that out. All right, Ken Erickson from Polaris Analytics and Consulting. We're going to talk strike next.
Hi, I'm Mike Howell, host of The Dirt, an economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
What can a grower do to reduce the amount of nitrogen that they're losing, whether that be to leaching or volatilization or denitrification?
I would say the biggest thing we use here is usually number one source of nitrogen is fall applied. And I would say almost 99 to 100% of the growers that I'm using are putting on nitrogen stabilizer. But I would say the bigger thing is that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, there's a lot more trending of nitrogen to spring applied. And then following that buck up with more in-season nitrogen as the crop is closer to needing it. And when it's there and it's actually growing, that's when it's pulling it up.
Yeah, so to add on to what Jeff mentioned, nitrogen stabilizers, there's actually multiple different forms, right? So we think about nitrification inhibitors, so that blocks the conversion of ammonium to nitrate, which is the form that can be leached out of that system. We also have urease inhibitors, so if you're using urea, UAN, even manure, you use these and it helps keep the nitrogen in the urea form, gives time to hopefully get some rainfall washed into the soil. So those are really the two big ones. We also have some extended release fertilizers, so coated fertilizers, right? They have a coating on them. Over time, it breaks down and releases the nitrogen into the soil. So that helps keep that nitrogen in the form that we want to keep it in the soil to where the plant can use it.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com, and stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Okay, the strike is happening, neither side seems willing to budge much when we're talking about the longshoremen's or dock workers' strike, East Coast ports, Gulf ports. We need to get a handle on exactly what this might mean if this strike lasts for a couple of weeks or so. Ken Erickson, Polaris Analytics and Consulting, joins us right now to bring some perspective. How you doing, Ken?
Great, Chip. Good to be with you. I'm sitting on the banks of the Mississippi River here in New Madrid, Missouri.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. That's a good place to be. It probably looks a little low right there, though, doesn't it?
A little bit. I tell you, though, Hurricane Helene, despite the destruction and loss of life, really did bring some water to the Tennessee and Ohio rivers. And we're seeing the benefit here in New Madrid and Memphis, where I'm heading to. So we got a little relief. That's a good sign. Right. Good thing.
Yep. Yep. Okay. I'm going to start this conversation about the strike with this. All right. Who is Harold Daggett, the leader of the International Longshoremen's Association? What do we need to know about him?
Well, Harold's fascinating. He's a longtime member of the union, 40 some years, I think it is. Worked up to the ranks. There was an interesting story written about him today in the Wall Street Journal. Actually, the story was an opinion piece and talked a bit about him. I couldn't read it all before I had to leave, but I tell you, he's been in the ranks a long time. He's risen up through it. He's been through several negotiations and has seen it. And, he's a very, polarizing individual, very much supporting his union as he's supposed to as the boss. But he's also found ways to live a good lifestyle as the president, and he would argue that I've earned that. And he's an interesting character, to say the least, to lead that big organization. If it's 45,000 or 25,000 people, it's a big organization. But I'll tell you, I think he's also jealous. He doesn't have quite what the West Coast longshoremen have, the ILWU. They got a little bit more lockdown on the whole coast. He doesn't have quite the lockdown as he thinks he does.
Right. And then his right-hand man in the union is his son, right?
Yeah, they certainly look. I come from a longshore family on the West Coast. I understand that. Mm-hmm. And yep. And you know, if you do a good thing, you come alongside, and they work well. And I can tell you, whenever a deal is going to be done, they're going to go back to work. They'll do the job. The rank and file will right. do the job. They'll deliver. But you do see that with family members that are part of that. Somehow I escaped, though, Chip, and here I am on the banks of the Mississippi.
Somehow he escaped. Okay, so you're right. He is defending his workers very much. And, I mean, he basically, in a conversation, I believe it was with a CNN reporter, basically said, listen, American people are going to find out now. They're going to find out just how important the longshoremen are when we shut this thing down. And I'm not saying that they're not. They are an absolute important link in the chain, but they're not the only link in the chain. I mean, what they're doing doesn't matter if consumers don't buy. What they're doing doesn't matter if we don't import, if we don't export. I mean, everybody's participation in this supply chain is critical to the operations. And boy, he's saying Americans are going to find out just how important we are.
You know, he's making a very bold statement in that regard, but I'm going to tell you, I use a 4 R's of the agri supply chain. And I think it's true for a lot of the supply chains in America. You've got a very reliable system in the sense that in ag, it's highly integrated. It's been established for a long time. It's resilient. You got, and this is the key. You got multiple options from farm to market, but in the U.S. economy, you've got options. You can still go through the West Coast. You can go through the Mexican border. Not easy. Yeah. Same thing in Canada. Not easy, but you can do it. And there are still private or non-union terminals on the East Coast and in the Center Gulf. I'll give you an example. Seaboard Marine, owned by Seaboard Corporation, who owns Seaboard Food and Trading and others. They own a lot of vessels, and they also have some terminals where they have non-union labor on the East Coast. And in the Gulf, they're still bringing containers in and out, mainly Latin American, you know, fruits, yeah. vegetables, some meat, proteins. Even your cigars are protected. They're bringing a lot of cigars, I was just reading this morning. Not all terminals are that way, but there's gaps in the system. And, you know, the good thing is bulk and break bulk, you know, grain exports that move in bulk vessels will not be affected. There could be a trickle down, but those things that move in containers, absolutely. Grain.
Yeah,
you know, 5 to 8% weekly basis meal DDGs, then the proteins, your chicken, especially off the Delmarva in the Southeast. That's gonna be big. But look, we've had other things going on in this economy for a long time with inflation. Two, we had the railroads that are having to reconfigure their system. They started this in June. I can show you that shippers started adjusting, and if you're not careful, Mr. Daggett, you're gonna lose market share and send it back to the West Coast, who send it to you because of their labor issues. These things are very fluid, and people adjust. And meanwhile, you got Helene that has even done more destruction yep. to the logistics. And so the timing couldn't be worse. This is electioneering that we're seeing taking place here. Bottom line.
Yep. One thing that makes your eyes, my eyes go wide are the wage demands, a $5 per hour increase in each of the next 6 years. So $30 an hour raise over the next 6 years. And to me, that feels like a negotiating point, because isn't this really about keeping automation out of the business?
That's my contention as well, Chip. And look, this is nothing new. There was things that the President Biden could have used beforehand. He could have used the Presidential Emergency Board. His president, Obama, did it in 2012. That was an election year, except that he invoked it in December after the election. And then it went for 30 days for the two sides to negotiate. The board gave some recommendations. They worked through that and found solution. At that time, they came to terms on automation. We're going to keep it. Now they've taken the opposite stance. And in fact, some of their members are saying on the news, no equipment, no work. Right. I mean, if you have equipment, we're not going to work. That's just one. That's an emphatic statement. But the reality is we're some of the worst or most inefficient container ports in the world are in the United States.
Yeah.
Because we're not adopting technology or hours of service be working. That's the greater issue. And I think that's where these steamship lines and the U.S. Merchant Association is going to say, look, we'll be happy to probably pay some more, help you with your benefits, but we got to be advanced and move forward here, where no one goes ahead if you don't advance.
Yeah. If we lock in this less efficient form of port operations, what does that do to the cost of goods that we're bringing into the country, and what does it do to competitiveness on products that we're trying to export?
Exactly. We become it just says that, okay, we'll send it to another direction, West Coast. Yeah. Now, the question is, how long will the West Coast hold on? If the East Coast and the Gulf Coast port, ILA, gets their way, let's just play it out. Well, what will the ILWU do next time? Yeah. Now you handcuff us all the more. Now you start trying to find other alternatives to get out of the country, and you just don't have many land routes that are capable to take care of the volume. That's where you get handcuffed, and that's where, you know, you really need some leadership from our country to step in and say, look, we're an advanced country. This is going backwards if we do this.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. What are the odds that the White House might step in before the elections?
I think it's probably more that they will at some point, going to let it go on and then say, look, we support the laborers, but we need to take care of economy. That the whole thing with the PEB, the Presidential Election Board, and then the Taft-Hartley is to help the economy. We've got so many things so fragile in the economy. Now, we've learned a lot through COVID. We became very nimble. The supply chains, the shippers, the exporters, the importers, the manufacturers, retail people, they've learned how to be nimble, and they're finding ways to make it happen. And look, if we got a lot of stuff already in for the holidays, not everything's in, but we're finding routes for it to still come in. The greater challenge is that you just had the MV Dally leave the United States after alighting with the Francis Key Scott Bridge, and it collapsed. It's just one thing after another. This is not helping to show goodwill to the American economy and to the American people.
Okay,
I think the president's going to step in, and I think he's going to do it with Kamala next to him and show that, look, we're going to bring everyone together and be happy.
Okay, we only got about 30 seconds left, but on the perishable items coming into the country is what we are most at risk of running short on, correct?
That's right. Thankfully, you got a couple of terminals that could still bring them in, but that's going to be the challenge. And the thing is, can we source them in other places? We've got a harvest of perishables in the United States going on, but there's other perishables that we need. And at the end of the day, that's going to be very important as we go forward. Hey, look, same thing with our perishable exports on the proteins. There are people who depend on it for their economies.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ken, let's stay in touch here, buddy. We'll get you back on and get updates as this happens. Thanks, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You bet. Ken Erickson, Polaris Analytics and Consulting. We've got Kenny Hartman Jr. coming up next.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it. and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa know-how from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Yesterday in live and feeder cattle futures, moderate to sharp losses here at mid-morning. So I think we're still waiting on the cash cattle trade to develop in earnest, and probably just pausing there as well. And then on the hog side of things, we've had some strength there recently, and we're seeing all about moderate price pressure here at mid-morning.
Yeah. All right, Brian, thank you so much. Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We are working on getting our next guest in here, and we'll give him a little bit of time, see if we can get Kenny Hartman Jr. in here. Kenny is the new president of the National Corn Growers Association, and we're gonna get him in here and try to introduce him to you before the end of this segment. Okay, all right, Davis.
Yes.
The longshoremen strike.
Yeah.
It was a topic of conversation this week at the World Dairy Expo for obvious reasons.
I would imagine.
Yeah, we've got some product that is leaving the country through those ports that I think is pretty important, and we need to we'll talk about that more at the end of the show. I think we've got Kenny Hartman Jr. on the line with us right now. Kenny, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing real fine, Kenny. It's good to talk to you. Kenny is the new president of the National Corn Growers Association. Congratulations, Kenny.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really excited about this upcoming year. We've got a lot of challenges, but challenges bring opportunities.
Yeah, that is for sure. Before we get to some of those challenges and opportunities, tell us about your farm and your family there in Illinois.
Well, I'm a fifth-generation farmer here in southern Illinois. I live about 25 miles southeast of St. Louis. We farm corn, soybeans, and wheat. 20-some years ago, we were very heavy in the dairy business and had registered Holstein, so a lot of breeding stock, but we converted that over just to grain farming now and still have a little bit of hobby with the Holstein cattle, still own a few, but mainly it's just my mother's still involved a little bit on working on some book work, but it's my wife, myself, and my daughter just came home a couple years ago from college, and she's hopefully going to be the sixth generation here on the farm.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Good for you. Good for you. Okay. I know that I've watched your rise through the NCGA, Kenny. You and I have talked before, but I know that you've been a big time supporter of ethanol. Is that going to keep the biofuels close to the top of the priority list for NCGA in the year ahead?
Well, NCGA's number one priority is ethanol and the Next Generation Fuel Act. That's huge for us. Got that bill out a few years ago. We're keeping increasing support on that. Obviously, right now, the bill that just got dropped last week on the House side, and there's already been one on the Senate side, was getting E15 year-round. It's very important to have E15 in the whole country. There's basically, we're talking about right now having it next summer in 8 states, but we need it through the whole United States. So
yeah,
we're hoping that we can get some support for that bill and get that passed here, hopefully by the end of the year. But at the same time, the Next Generation Fuel Act is our biggest priority here long term. Basically, that's increasing ethanol, 20-25% in all fuel throughout the whole United States. That's a bill that would support a higher fuel standard that the car industry, car manufacturers would produce engines that would be run on the higher blends of fuel. That would bring back the E85 in cars. That would do a lot of, basically it's just a great support for ethanol. You look down to Brazil, they're running cars that are similar to the United States at 27% ethanol going to 30. And we feel like the United States, I mean, we've got the corn, so it's good for the farmers. It's definitely good for the consumer because ethanol is a cheap fuel right now. Yep. And it's also very good for the environment. I mean, ethanol is a clean environmental fuel that, basically, and it's here now. So I mean, we could enough ethanol right now.
Yeah, that's the thing that some of the climate advocates out there seem to forget when they get so tied up in their push for EVs out there, Kenny. They tend to forget that they've got an alternative, an option available right now that can work with the technology that we've got on the road to lower emissions, and they ought to be doing more of that. I think we're starting to hear that more and more from the folks out on the West Coast in California, aren't we?
Yeah, I definitely believe they're starting to realize that. I mean, there's a place for EVs and there's a place for ethanol, and we just want a level playing field and make sure that people understand that ethanol is environmentally friendly and it is the answer right now. Versus looking down the road, some of the other issues they have with some of the other these farm of vehicles and energies.
Yeah, yeah. If we can continue to increase the amount of ethanol in the nation's fuel supply, it would take some of the pressure off of this, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, Kenny, but it right now there's a lot of focus on 45Z and ethanol to jet and sustainable aviation fuel and everything. That's going to remain a focus for NCGA, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. We're definitely looking at 45Z coming on here on that program. And sustainable aviation fuel is very important to us. I mean, it is a 50 billion gallon market, they're telling us, in the future, but that is a future. That's a few years out. But right now, the big thing is that we can position ethanol to be part of that 50 billion gallons down the road. But it's a long term. But at the same time, the 45Z, you know, we were somewhat frustrated because unfortunately, so far we have no-till. We have cover crops and green fertilizer, and they positioned it so they bundled all three, which, as you know, farmers, we're very progressive. We look at new things, but it takes time to get to each area. I look at myself. I mean, we've been no-tilling for 20 some years, but I remember when I was younger and the first time we tried to no-till, there was challenges there, and we overcame them challenges by new tools in the toolbox, by new technology when it came to our planters, and now we're no-tilling and having as good a yields, if not better yields, from the no-till. Well, that's the same thing that they need to realize when it comes to cover crops and some of these other areas, that you can give credits for the areas at one at a time versus just trying to bundle them, because, you know, unfortunately, we can't jump into everything at once.
Right. Yeah. Boy. You're gonna help the people that are making these decisions and putting these policies in place. You're gonna help them understand the challenges of that bundling and what it does create. Good stuff, Kenny. Okay.
Well, I mean, I always look at farmers are the best environmentalists and the conservationists. I mean, it's like myself, you know, fifth generation farmer here where we live. We've been here since 1860s. Our family we want to keep that land in the family and keep things going. And the way you do that is you got to take care of the land and take care of your area.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Sustainable before sustainability was cool. That's that's kind of what we see in a lot of farmers across the Midwest. Talk to me about your attitude or your thoughts on the farm bill. Is there a chance, Kenny, that we can get the farm bill done, you know, after the elections but before the end of the year?
Well, we're really hoping that's going to happen. I know we were out in D.C. A couple weeks ago. I was out there with some of the other leaders from, we had cotton, we had rice, we had peanuts, we had sorghum, soybeans, and corn all together walking into a lot of those offices. We explained, you know, where the economy is right now. Prices are low with all the inflation that's happened the last couple of years. You know, we've got higher fuel prices, we've got higher fertilizer prices, we've got higher machinery prices. You know, interest rates have went very high. I mean, these are all challenges that we're dealing with, but at the same time, the farm bill is based on 7 years ago. So, you know, our priorities at National Corn Growers, our number one priority is risk management. So, you know, we're wanting to support anything we can do with crop insurance, try to be able to support higher percentages as far as covering that. And it's another idea, you know, or that we're working on, is we definitely look at the Title I when it comes to ARC and PLC. You know, them prices that were set there were set from 7 years ago. That's changed. So we want to make sure that that's equivalent of where it is today, according to where we need to be. And then, you know, markets. I mean, if there's anything we can do to help these prices, it's markets. So, you know, MAP and FMD is part of the farm bill there. We haven't had that increase for many years, and they have done some increase just temporarily now, but we need that doubling permanent. So, you know, follow through with the inflation where we've at today. So that's another priority. And then obviously last but not least priority is we want, you know, programs for conservation, but they need to be voluntary to help farmers out when they need to do something on their farm, that they have voluntary programs that they have some support to help work on these areas.
Dude, your plate is full for the year ahead, Kenny.
We got a lot of challenges, but like I said, hopefully we can get some of this done. We're We're hoping that Congress doesn't kick this can down the road another year. I mean, they kicked it down 1 year. They need to get up there and get their job done and get this bill done by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. All right, Kenny. Well, I'm sure that you and I will be talking very soon. There seems like there's always an issue that we need to get to the leadership at NCGA to have a conversation with. So I'm looking forward to those conversations, and I'm sure I will see you out in Denver.
Definitely. Anytime you want to talk, just basically we'll talk and give me a call.
You bet. You know we will. Kenny, thank you so much. Kenny Hartman Jr., the brand new president of the National Corn Growers Association. Okay, boy, we've got a lot to unpack from the two conversations with the two cans that we had here today. Davis and I are going to do that next here on AgriTalk.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
MFG.
You saved your money on your crew. You don't have to have them coming out to start your fans and turn them off. And it's free money you're adding back to your crop. Who doesn't want to add more money back into your crop?
Call 712-520-6061.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
My whole identity had been wrapped up in being a soldier. To have that so violently ripped from me when I was wounded, I was lost for a very long time. When Wounded Warrior Project came into my life, being around the other warriors, people that had similar experiences that I did, it was a game changer for me. Having King join the group, that was the beginning of a really good friendship.
It's a good time.
I first heard about Wounded Warrior Project through CQ. And at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I qualify. But having been a part of it, it's kind of taught me that it's not just the wounds that you can see, but it's those that you can't.
When you do something like a peer support group with Wounded Warrior Project and come together from different walks of life, man, the growth is incredible. If not for Wounded Warrior Project, I really don't think that I'd be here today.
See how we help warriors combat stigma at woundedwarriorproject.org/combatstigma.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. Right on, right on, right on! Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. No need to O-Neater. Chip Flory is with me here as well. Hey, buddy.
I'm doing great. Doing great. Wow. Yeah. Really, really good conversations there with Ken Erickson and Kenny Hartman.
Really good. Before we dig into that,
okay,
I might have come in a little hot this morning on the Royals. You know, we are bathing. You know, we are submerged in the Royals Kool-Aid down here. I'm not even sure if you can get Royals Kool-Aid in Iowa. So, maybe I was a little harsh, maybe.
You know, despite the fact that we've got the Iowa Cubs, okay?
Yep.
Iowa is a very diverse baseball state, okay?
I would agree with that, yep.
I would say there's not a lot of Brewers fans, although there are some, including my nephew. But we've got Twins fans, we've got Royals fans, we've got Cubs fans, we've unfortunately got Cardinals fans too.
I was going to see if you were going to leave that one off. They're out there, I guess.
They are. And some of them are okay. Oh my gosh. But no, there are Royals fans, definitely. In the state of Iowa, no doubt, and blue-blooded Royals fans. I mean, guys that have been Royals fans for a very long time. So
Well, it's all very exciting. We'll see what happens here.
No doubt.
Ken Erickson, made a simple statement. You know, we've been talking for I don't know how long since we knew that there was going to be an election this year. Well, you never know what could happen in an election year. Now, maybe I'm making a wide loop here. Shut me down if I'm way off track.
Especially this election year.
This election year, yes. Yeah. Now more than ever, as they say. The Teamsters, which typically have endorsed the Democratic candidate, refused to do so this year because the support for Trump within its membership was too strong. It was basically a 60-40 split, roughly, as I recall.
And the union leaders refused to endorse Trump at the same time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So now we've got a situation. This is a different union. This is the International Longshoremen's Union.
Right.
But it is an election year. I'm just...
Oh, they're using the leverage of the election
year
here.
They want higher pay. They want to, you know, with the AI stuff, with all of that sort of thing. I can sort of understand all of those kinds of things. Is there anything related to this Teamsters coup, basically, that refused to support the Democratic candidate here?
Well, I think that the longshoremen are definitely using the leverage of an election year. I don't think there's any question about that, and they are putting the White House on the spot with this and basically saying, listen, if you want the endorsement, you can stay out of this one. If you want the support of union workers, you can stay out of this one. And the thing is, Davis, there's what? And I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. I'm going to. In 3 weeks, if this strike continues and we do start to see some impacts, some legitimate impacts of the disruption to the supply chain at the grocery store, 90% of the people are going to go, what the heck? Why can't I get bananas? What the heck? Why is the price of that up? And then they're going to realize, oh, you mean there's been a strike going on. So, I don't know. Is that too harsh?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, and I also have to wonder, through all of this, through the lead up to this, through everything, you know, this country should really have a transportation secretary of some kind that could maybe show up at these deals.
That would prevent disruptions like this, or help in the efforts to prevent disruptions like this from happening. I don't know. Is there such a thing?
Or at least communicate to the American public. Here's the deal. Here's your potential things here. So that when people are faced with higher banana prices and there's no toilet paper, our transportation secretary
is punched in here. Don't cause a run on toilet paper. Don't do that.
I'm not worried about
most toilet paper is produced right here in the good old U.S. of A. We're going to be fine with TP. Don't rush out now. And some of the private, Ken made a great point of emphasizing that there are some private docks that are still open. Seaboard. That's an important link of this entire chain, and it could offset some of the impact of the longshoremen strike. I'm sure that they are looking for more business at Seaboard. I'm sure that I know that the West Coast ports are still looking for more business. They say right now they're running at about 70% capacity. And one thing that we didn't get to talk about with Kenny, and I'm going to check these numbers with him, guys, but some of the analysis that I've seen is that there's 45,000 longshoremen union members and enough work for full-time work for about 25,000 workers.
Ooh.
That might take some of the leverage away from the union, if that is the case. All I know is that there's not many, as I understand it, there are several of those union members that are not working a full 40-hour week. So I don't know, man. I want the union members to get what they deserve and to get their fair share of the American piece of pie.
Absolutely.
But I also don't want their negotiations to interrupt the flow of goods to the American consumers. We're going to keep track, obviously. We are going to keep tabs of what is going on in this. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, here on AgriTalk. Jeff Ellis is a technical services manager at AMVAC. Jeff, talk to me about rootworm control.
Yeah, rootworm control is very important. Most people think that rootworms cause over $1 billion in losses for growers. And so Index is a top-performing liquid at plant insecticide that growers can use to really help maximize their yield potential of their crop, regardless of which trait package they're using, whether using a trait or not, or which individual trait did they choose to use. And so Index contains two modes of action. They're very complementary to each other, so they both do a really good job on corn rootworm control, but then also control other seedling and seed pests such as corn cutworms, grubs, seed corn maggots, and wireworms.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff. That is Jeff Ellis, Technical Services Manager at AMVAC. To learn more, head to www.amvac.com.
Thank you. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I